I often think about the role of the church in Christian history, the role of the church in the here and now. And then this question dawned on me. How would this world get on if the church never existed? How would the world get on if we weren't here? Could they get on fine without us? Well, the answer to this question depends entirely upon the person you ask. For instance, if you were to ask the well-known comedian Bill Maher, he would say, yes, the world would be better off without the church. The world would be much better off, far better off, if religion never even existed. Well, let me be up front and say that the Christian church has done harm in her 2,000-year history. You know this, our track record has blemishes. This, however, does not mean that the world would be better off without us. For history confirms that no organization, no institution has done more social good, has contributed more to this world than the church. We have established countless orphanages, hospitals, women's shelters, food banks. No institution has given more to third world countries. We have done so much in the realm of education, in the creation of schools. If you compare the church with other institutions, it's not even close. We win by a mile. But it's true, the church has not been perfect. But that's because the church has always been comprised of people. People who are flawed. But it would be a very difficult position to maintain that this world would be better off if the church didn't exist. The good news that I can report this morning is that we have made a positive impact. The world is a better place because we've been here, animated by the Spirit of God, instructed by the Word of God. We have made an impact. That's the macro view. That's looking at the whole of the 2,000-year history of the church. And for lack of a better word, we can be proud of what we have accomplished. We can be proud of the influence that Christianity has had upon this world. But closer to home, I want us today to begin to look at the parts within the whole. For St. Giles Kingsway is a part of the whole. I'd like us to think about the present and the future impact that St. Giles Kingsway could have in central Etobicoke and beyond. And I want us to think about this through the lens of one of the most famous sermons Jesus ever delivered, the Sermon on the Mount. In this particular section, Jesus talks about making an impact. Now, he doesn't use that actual word, but in this passage you heard read from Matthew 5, Jesus talks about the marks of impact. He talks about the aim of impact. And he did so using two very familiar metaphors, salt and light. This is how the followers of Jesus should be marked. We should be like salt and light. Now, the cynic might come out and say, well, too much salt is actually bad for you. Or the cynic might say, if a light is really bright, it hurts your eyes. At the same time, you probably also know that in the ancient world, salt was a hugely valuable commodity. Historians have suggested that in Jesus' day, soldiers were paid, at least in part, by salt. The value of salt in an age where there is no electricity, where there is no refrigeration, the huge value of salt lies largely in its ability to preserve, its ability to prevent decay. But secondly, we all know this, salt also flavors. colors. It adds value to things. It spices things in a positive way. And this metaphor is a great template for understanding the kind of influence that followers of Jesus should have in this world. That where there is moral decay, where there is spiritual decay, we are to exert an influence that preserves godly standards. Unfortunately, in some corners of this world, the church has sought to be salt. The church has sought to preserve through shouts of protest and through political maneuvering. But if we take this metaphor seriously, we are reminded that salt preserves by attaching itself to the thing it is meant to keep from decay. Do you see decay in this world? Do you see things that have gone off track, that have gone awry? Do you see decay in your neighborhood? Decay in your workplace? Decay in your school? Wherever you see decay, attach yourself to it as salt. As a follower of Jesus, our saltiness is our Christ-likeness. And so we smother decay with the Christ-likeness that the Spirit gives to us. The degree to which we have a disposition, speech, and conduct that matches Jesus Christ. Our Christ-likeness is our saltiness. Salt not only preserves, but salt adds flavor. So because I have a refrigerator, and because we have the ability to freeze meat, I really don't resonate with the salt adding, preserving influence. But at least we can study about that and understand that that's what Jesus is getting at. That we can preserve moral decay in this world. But the part that probably you and I resonate with on a very immediate level is that salt adds flavor. Because I love salt. I use salt every day of my life. And those of you who've ever seen me eat a plate of French fries have probably looked on in horror with the amount of salt that I put on my French fries. And I'm nervous about the day they test the strength of my arteries and arteriosclerosis. I guess that comes from having too much salt. And at some point, I should slow down. But the reason I have so much salt is because I understand and you understand that salt adds flavor. Maybe you're like me and your favorite snack is salted potato chips. Well, my second favorite snack is salted popcorn. Salt makes ordinary things taste great. Salt adds value. So let's think about this world. And maybe you're thinking, Bryn, where I'm connected in this world, I don't see a ton of decay. I don't see a lot of areas where I feel that I need to have a preserving influence. Well, that's outstanding. And that's when the second aspect of the metaphor kicks in. Because if we're not preserving against decay, then we're adding flavor. And that's another way we can look at our influence in this world. That just as salt has a flavoring role, our Christ-likeness adds value to this world. But Jesus concedes something in this passage. He admits that salt can lose its saltiness. And when salt loses its saltiness, it loses its value. Similarly, a follower of Jesus may be lacking at times in Christ-like attitudes and Christ-like behaviors. Jesus assures us that we are salt, but he makes no assurances of our saltiness. This is something we must aim at. This is something we must pursue. Christ-likeness will not smother us as an automatic thing. It is something we must chase, pray for, pursue in the Scriptures. We are salt, yes, but our saltiness comes from our pursuit of Christ-likeness. And when we are growing in Christ-likeness, we find that we're adding value to this world, flavor to the context in which we find ourselves. Jesus gives a second metaphor. It is the metaphor of light. And the exhortation here is that light ought to be on display, and light ought not to be hidden. Accordingly, Christ-likeness is not something we keep to ourselves. We should extend the light of Christ far beyond these walls. Some imagine that our best behavior is for Sunday morning. That something happens to us. We wake up on Sunday morning, we realize it's the Lord's Day, it's the day to go to church, to be with the people of God, and it brings out the best in us. Well, I certainly am thankful that you come in your best, bringing your best. But it seems to me that the world is largely excluded from this place. And so while it's great that we take the Lord's Day so seriously, it could run the danger that we shine most brightly here when we should be shining most brightly out there. I mean, every Sunday almost, I end with the benediction or before the benediction. And now as you go out from this place in order to be the church in this world, I think where I get that from is the understanding that the light we shine ought to shine most brightly out there among those who have yet to meet Jesus Christ. The aim, I think, in Jesus' sermon here is to encourage us, to exhort us to maximize our visibility. Now maybe we want to keep a low profile, but please remember, Jesus tells us to shine our light, not to show off, but to show Him. It's not about making ourselves visible. It's about making Christ visible in us, through us. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, why would someone glorify God if they see your good deeds? Why wouldn't they glorify you? Why wouldn't they give you the credit? Why wouldn't they congratulate you for how you're conducting yourself? Well, the way this sentence is structured, it seems that the person sees in our good deeds the work of Jesus Christ, the influence of Jesus Christ. It has been said that the Son, S-U-N, the Son is like Jesus, and that the moon is like the church. And the light that comes from the moon at night is the light that's reflected from the sun. So we're not called to manufacture light. We're not called to create within ourselves light. The call is to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in the good deeds that we do. Now, how do we measure this? We've been talking about how to make a difference in this world, to be a world changer. How do we go about measuring our impact? How do we go about determining whether we're having any preserving influence, any flavoring influence? How will we know if our light is effectively shining through darkness? How will we know if impact is being made? I think the answer lies in the quality that salt has that we haven't touched on yet. I think the answer lies in terms of how we measure the impact we're making by looking at a quality of salt that we haven't mentioned yet. What happens when you eat a bag of chips? What happens if you eat a bag of salted popcorn? You get thirsty. You get thirsty. I would maintain that when followers of Christ are salty, when followers of Christ are adding flavor in this world, when they're attaching themselves to other individuals, it makes those around them thirsty for Jesus Christ. So if you're at work, or you're at a social club, or you're in your neighborhood, There should come a time where someone wants to ask you a question about spiritual things. There should come a time where someone has a theological question or a question about something they heard that was in the Bible. There should come a time where those you interact with ask you about your church, ask you about your faith, ask you about what makes you tick. Because if you are salty, you will cause those around you to become thirsty. Maybe we're not meant to force feed living water to those who don't yet know Christ. Maybe our best impact is when we spend our time seeking to be salty and to maximize our impact by having people around us thirst for Jesus. Let Jesus be the thing that satisfies others. Let our saltiness be the thing that causes them to thirst. Amen.